The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Okay, it's time for our annual Christmas cookbook recommendations because so many people buy or get cookbooks at Christmas. But what are the best? What are the most realistic for your talents? And we're delighted that we have back again this year Russell Alford and Patrick Hanlon, a.k.a. the Gastro Gaze. Thank you very much, lads, for joining us again.
Thank you
for having us, Mark.
Joy to be here.
Okay, let's start with, I think he is certainly a favourite of so many people from television. Mm-hmm. He's a regular, I know, a listener to Today FM. Nevin Maguire, the Can't Cook cookbook.
Exactly.
That sounds like the book for me.
Well, he's kind of taken it from the restaurant into the home kitchen. So everybody is aware of him as an amazingly impressive chef, but he's also a great teacher as well. So this is called Home Economics for Life. The price of it is $18.99, and it's basically all of the recipes you need to know and everything you have to master, from a custard to a soup to pastry to a roast chicken. So it's kind of the ultimate gift for those who can't really cook.
It sounds to me like an absolute great one, even say it's like teenagers.
Absolutely.
Starting off something.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I could even see myself with some of my teenagers actually trying to follow this, because I'd be pretty rubbish probably cooking. I'd love to be able to cook. Is this the type of thing that I would need to get me to do the stuff that I need to do?
Absolutely. It has all of the essentials, and it is image heavy. So it talks you through every step of every recipe. The ingredients aren't anything wild or exotic. It really is all of the essentials.
And indeed, Russell, it's interesting what Patrick said there, that Nevin is a great teacher, because that possibly is a flaw, isn't it, with a lot of cookbooks, and that they just become literally too complicated for people to actually be able to follow the instructions.
Absolutely. And quite a lot of the arguments in the cookbook world would be that when a chef from a restaurant comes along and writes a really great cookbook, he or she was testing it in the kitchen of the restaurant, and it's a very different environment and it doesn't always translate very well. Nevin's is, you know, you're guaranteed it will work.
Yeah.
And the step-by-step imagery is rare, because a lot of cookbooks will just have one image for each recipe. This has four or none in some cases, and this would be four or five per recipe. So you can go along each step of the way and know exactly what you're doing. And it's a good sense of security, especially if you're not too used to the kitchen, let's say.
Would it be fair to say Nevin's a great man as well for comfort food? I mean, he does go for the sort of the basics, the things that people traditionally like.
Yes, absolutely. Big time. And if you ever see his demos at any of the festivals, he is a master at them, you know, and he's a really friendly person, and it comes across through in the books as well, which is great. So it's a really great recommendation, and it's one of the cheapest that we actually have as well.
Yeah. That's what I was noticing. That is a good price, because cookbooks can be quite expensive. And I suppose it's the nature of the fact that they're hardback. Nearly all of them are hardback, and they also have quite expensive photography, color photography going in. But that does seem like a very good value price.
Absolutely.
Yeah, under €20, so.
Okay, what's your next pick? I'll take you, Russell, first. What's the one would you go with next?
I'm going to go with what we're calling the celebrity cookbook, but I think for Prulith, she's not a celebrity in that kind of sense. Prulith, judge in the Great British Bake Off, but has been established for many, many, many years. Late's Cookery School in London is a very popular place to learn how to cook, and has been instrumental in that. Was a judge on the Great British Menu as well, which is like MasterChef, but the level turned up in chefiness in that kind of way. This cookbook is her first in quite a few years, and you've read her autobiography, so you know everything about her.
Incredible. And she also has produced quite a few other books in the past few years.
Novels
as well.
And the likes.
So,
but hold on, if she's the star of the Great British Bake Off, does that mean this is all confectionery? Is it all
not
cakes
at all.
And desserts?
Not at all. And
it's kind of an all-rounder book, I guess.
Like, it's one of the most colourful cookbooks that we have in the selection this year, and it's very much what we see of Prue at the moment. You know, colour in her clothing and everything like that, and it reflects in this. The recipes are very adventurous, considering judge on Bake Off type show. Normally, you'd expect it. Like, remember Paul Hollywood came out with a couple of books over the years, and they were just quite plain bread based books. This is quite adventurous. There's a squash tatin, so like a tart tatin but with squash, harissa butter covered in that. There's a lot of vegan recipes, a lot of gluten free recipes, and it's a really, really adventurous book considering. But of course, she has the experience over the years too, and I think it's a beautiful book. It's called Prue, and it's absolutely beautiful, very colourful, and good for all palates, moods, seasons.
Patrick,
levels.
What's your next recommendation?
The next one we are going to do is all about cheap eats. So there's a blogger called Jack Monroe, who has just produced her third book called Cooking on a Bootstrap, which is 2240. And she is a blogger who begun blogging in 2012 and is quite well known online from her Twitter, A Girl Called Jack. And this is all about cooking the basics and cooking quite frugally.
Which I suppose is in keeping, but if it's supposed to be on a bootstrap, I suppose you will. You're not going to expect complicated recipes if you're actually working on a limited budget, or would you?
Not at all. Everything is spelled out really, really easily, and it's so accessible as well. I mean, there's things like if you have anyone in the house who isn't into sprouts, you can hide them in scones. And
hang on, why would you do that to somebody? There's a reason why people don't like sprouts, and you wouldn't actually foist them on them by hiding them inside something else. That's crime.
Well, now this is a table divided, because we will fight to the death for sprouts.
I saw somebody on Twitter the other day making a really good point about Brussels sprouts. If there's something that you have to put them in honey, or you have to put them in, and that you actually have to do anything to disguise the taste of the sprouts, why bother?
Well, see, the problem is everybody overcooked sprouts every single year. They're boiled to oblivion. All you have to do is pan fry them.
Oh, it makes a world of a difference.
Every single year, always works.
So, so good.
But her book has all of these really, really everyday, easy to find ingredients and a load of really unique ideas.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to be pedantic in this, getting back to the sprouts. Are you trying to tell me that if on Christmas Day I fry up a pan of Brussels sprouts and leave them on the table in a bowl for people to serve them, that any of them will be taken?
If you invited us to Christmas Day dinner...
I'd love to, but I've got a full house. No offence, lads, but the table's full. I've got so many family members coming.
Who all hate sprouts. The great thing, though, about
Even
Jack...
Even the vegetarians. Exactly.
Please, no. The great thing about Jack's book, and if you follow her on Twitter in particular, you'll know, because of the budget mentality... She knows the weight and the cost per weight of a gram of flour, a teaspoon of cumin, and has it written on jars in her kitchen as well, which I think is amazing, because it's coming from a background of having to budget, having to feed her child on a very small amount of money. It reflects back into this book, and I think it's a real masterpiece of hers as well. And especially if we're getting into January and saving money and trying to be a bit more frugal, I think this is a really great book that you should consider buying.
So this is Jack Munro, Cooking on a Bookstrap. Yes. Okay, what's your next choice?
I'm going for Irish chef based in London, Robin Gill. His book Larder, which came out earlier this year, a bit pricier. It's £36.40 in Easton's at the moment, but it is an absolutely beautiful book.
He's been a guest on The Last Word previously when we were in London a couple of years ago. He has the dairy, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, in Clapham. Beautiful restaurant, and many people remember him from Celebrity MasterChef as well, back in last year, if I remember correctly.
And this is his first book.
Yes, yep. And it begins quite nicely with a lot of stories about his time as a chef here in Dublin and around the world in particular, and how he overcame a lot of the issues, the aggressive environment that he would have been in. It was quite a lot of swear words in it, actually, so you might want to be careful. But the first chapters of this book is dedicated entirely to fermenting and pickling, creating essentially your larder. And we're getting more like this. A lot of people are getting more like this, that you want to preserve certain ingredients. You want to home make pickles. You want to make your own kombuchas, perhaps, if you're really adventurous. And there's a whole section dedicated to this. And I think it's the main crux of this book. In terms of recipes thereafter, they're all very, very achievable. We mentioned earlier on about the chefiness of a lot of cookbooks. This is very achievable in a home kitchen, we find. And it's a beautiful, beautiful book.
What you also have to have is the time to spend in the kitchen. I think everyone's greatest asset is time. So if you're interested in spending time in the kitchen and curing stuff or...
pickling.
Yeah. I think it's a great way to spend your time in the kitchen.
I would only have one complaint about this book, and I would have 20/20 vision. It's a very small point size in the recipes, and some of the print is done deliberately in a very faint look.
Yes.
And it's difficult to read, which that's the only complaint I would actually say.
It's all squeezed on.
It's squeezed on. Otherwise, the photography is beautiful, as you would expect. The dishes look fantastic, but that would be my one, perhaps, complaint about that book.
Yeah. Okay. And you might have to wait a year for some of the recipes to ferment too, which might not be suitable.
Again, time.
Time.
All right, what else do we have?
So the next, so we're sticking to London, and the next book has an unusual cover. So if I hand this to you, just grazed the cover there.
Oh, that's a very sort of very tactile, isn't it?
It's very tactile. It is called How to Eat a Peach.
And it has that feeling of a peach. Mm. Absolutely.
In the name, in the colour, and in the feeling. So Diana Henry is also Irish in London. And this book is the book to give the person who has every cookbook imaginable on their shelves. It is for the foodie in your life, or the host, or the entertainer. Because it's split up into seasons.
It's for somebody who has time to prepare these for your guests, isn't it?
Well, everything I think is heavy on the flavour of the ingredients, and it's choosing a few key things and really exacerbating the flavour of them. It's all about how to create a menu. So quite a few of the things are for 8 to 10 in it. It's beautifully shot. And
some of the food looks absolutely delicious.
Yeah, and her writing is like a storybook. It is absolutely gorgeous.
This is for the type of person who, instead of bringing a novel to bed, would bring a cookbook to bed. She is very much of that realm of cookbook writers who don't just write the recipes and let them be. They write the story, and Diana's written many books over the years, and you can document pretty much her life through her food, through her cooking, and through these books.
Some of the vegetarian food here looks magnificent,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, salads that looked at you, yeah, you'd get really stuck into those.
But that seems to be the trend with a lot of cookbooks. You know, we are moving into a more veg-heavy lifestyle choices at the moment, which is fantastic. We need to think that way. And a lot of recipes being like this, becoming more attractive looking in the cookbooks and in the magazines, it's so important as a selling point too.
And I think if you're thinking of anything of these choices as a gift, I think this is it. It is on the pricier end. It is about 30 to 35, but I think it's a really thoughtful gift for the foodie.
Do we have any more left?
We've one more, is Donal Skehan's cookbook, which is $23.99 on special, actually, in Easton's. We just checked. And this is called Meals in Minutes. It's his 8th cookbook. And Donal, you know, you may know, he's recently
he's
had a child,
of course,
and is living in LA. And this book is very LA because it's very, you know, bright and marbly backdrops
and
everything.
Mean, you go
like
off and
that.
Do a bit of yoga, perhaps stretching in between while you're waiting for things to come to the boil.
I think the Y word does get mentioned a couple of times. But
why did I guess that?
But there is quite a good focus on quick in this, you know, and a lot of these cookbooks fall victim of do it all in 15 minutes. But it takes half an hour. He's very much upfront going, prep time, cook time are two separate things. And it's really a great cookbook to go from.
We'll put the list of all of these books up on our website. Absolutely. We'll put the photographs with them as well, just so you recognise them when you see them. But thank you very much. The Gastro Gays, Russell Alford and Patrick Hanlon, for joining us again this year on The Last Word on Today FM. Thanks very much for taking the time to do all this for us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.